everybody. Praise God indeed. Hope everyone's doing well. Just praise the Lord. Praise God indeed. Hallelujah. Let me turn this thing off before I get in trouble. All right. Let's all stand. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer this evening. Just to ask each and every one of you as we come together that we'll all be in one mind and one accord. Just turn everything off that's in your way. That's why I was killing this phone. But just let the Lord just minister to us this evening. Let's all just turn it all to the Lord. Praise God. If you have a prayer request, just show by the raising of your hand. God sees and knows each and every one. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, we just praise your holy name. Dear Lord, we just thank you for your many blessings, for your mercy, your love, and your grace. Dear Lord, as we come to you this evening, dear Lord, may we be in one mind and one accord. Lord, ready to receive your word. Dear Lord, ready to receive the message that you have for each and every one of us, dear Lord. As we come together again, dear Lord, with all the serious situations that's going forth, we want to place each and every one into your hands, my Lord. You see the hands that were raised, dear Lord. You know the depths of our hearts. Those situations, that healing, Lord, we need protection to mend family situations, dear Lord, to bring marriages back together. But most of all, dear Lord, I pray for the lost. I pray for those that are struggling, dear Lord, even as we stumble through life, dear Lord, that we know that we have you sitting at the right hand, the throne of God, Lord, interceding for each and every one of us, dear Lord, that we can call on you as our Lord and Savior. Lord, we just love and praise you. Lord, again, we thank you for everyone that's here, everyone that's watching live, on the screen, the video tonight, dear Lord, or at a later date. May they feel your holy presence, dear Lord. May they be able to place their each and every desire into your hands. Dear Lord, we ask now that you'll bless our pastor, bless his family, dear Lord. Strengthen them as they go about your work. Lord, again, we thank you for your many blessings on this church, his congregation. Lord, we ask that you'll just multiply and bless each and every ministry that goes forth from here. And, dear Lord, that it be all about you and not about us. Dear Lord, we give you all the honor and all the glory in Jesus' name. And we all say, amen, amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord another hand clap. Praise the Lord. Y'all excuse me. I got a little raspy voice this afternoon for a wonderful service we had this morning and a continuation this evening. While you're standing, turn to page 177. Are you washed in the blood? Amen. I've been just using my mouth too much. Praise God. You may be seated. We're going to go ahead and take up the evening offering. I do not want to wear anybody out on our announcements. I know we started last Sunday morning, but don't forget, as the seasons change and fall's coming and we're getting ready for, actually it's time to get ready for some Christmas activities and some that we do. Don't forget, it's time to get ready for the Samaritan's Purse, the Operation Christmas Child, the shoe boxes that we do each and every year. If you would like to assist Miss Elaine, they're going to start collecting now. There's a big number they've set for themselves, and we're actually going to let God just bless it and multiply it. And if you would like to help, Elaine has a list of the things that you can give for the shoe boxes. And also, if you'd like to help monetarily, whether to buy stuff, and it also costs $9 a box to ship. So make plans, if you will. If you have any questions, see Sister Elaine. She has a list of the do's and don'ts that we can do. It's a wonderful ministry. There's a couple other things they're working on. I'm looking forward to them announcing it real quick. So really excited about that. Are there any other announcements that we need to bring forth tonight? Nope, nope, nope. All righty. Well, praise the Lord. Well, we're just going to go ahead and ask the Lord to bless our offering. Brother Jim, would you ask the Lord to bless our offering, please? Absolutely. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Sister Karen, Sister Tabitha, and Kylie, or the K and K's, I was told they're called. Y'all come on up.
They're singing Amazing Grace, verse 1, 2, and 4. Regular Amazing Grace.
Saved a wretch like me. will sing As Small As I Am.
Are you thankful that he picks us up?
Yes.
Yes. Amen. I wanted to testify. A couple different people testified this morning, and it made me think that I haven't even testified about it yet. But when I was in the hospital, I told a few people, but I got put in the room. I was in the ER, then they put me in another room, then they moved me to the second floor, and it was in the nighttime when they moved me. But there was a young girl in my room, and the next day when I went to the bathroom, I just felt impressed I needed to stop and talk to her because she was just real sleepy when I first got in there. But turns out she is 32 years old. I thought she had been in an accident because the way she looked, but actually she had a stroke from she OD'd on heroin. And in January, her husband OD'd and actually passed away. They have two small children, but I was like, Lord, what do I say to her? I felt I needed to talk to her. And I asked her, I said, how long you been here? She said, since June. And she said, I said, well, how long are you going to be here? She said, probably another month or two. Well, later they came and took me for one of my heart tests, and she thought I actually left because the nurse said she just like, that was the best roommate I've had. She's so sweet. So the next time I went by her bed, I stopped and talked to her again. And I said, I just wanted to tell you, know that the Lord loves you no matter what you've done and where you've been. I said, God will help you through all these things in your life, whatever it's tormenting you to make you want to go to addiction. God is greater than that. And I said, do you mind if I pray for you? And she said, please do. So I prayed for her. And wouldn't you know, in a few hours, they come and took her to rehab. So it was meant for me to go into that room and pray for her. I held her hand as they took her on the stretcher, and she said that she thanked me for encouraging her and praying for her. And I said, I will never forget you, and I'll always pray for you, because I think about the song, Wendy, that I sing about Maggie, the girl. That was my Maggie that day. God let me speak into her life, and I pray that she'll never forget those words that I said to her. But I wanted to sing tonight. I asked Gabe to play The Goodness of God for me. I don't know if I can get through it in my throat, but I shouted a little too much this morning. But God's good, and I want to sing His love and His mercy tonight.
I love you, Lord. Oh, your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. And all my life you have been faithful. And all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I'm gonna sing of the goodness of God. I love your voice. You have led me through the fire. In the darkest night, you were close like no other. I've known you as a father. I've known you as a friend. And I have lived in the goodness of God. And all my you have been faithful. And all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I'm gonna sing of the goodness of God. Your goodness is running after, it's running. When my life lay down, I surrender now. I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. When my life lay down, I surrender now. I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. And all my life you have been faithful. Yes, He has. And all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I'm gonna sing of the goodness of God. And all my life you have been faithful. And all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I'm gonna sing of the goodness of God. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I surrender now, I give you everything. Your goodness is running, running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I surrender now, I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after. And all my life you have been faithful. Think about how faithful he's been. And all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I'm gonna sing of the goodness of God. Oh, I'm gonna sing of the goodness of God.
Says it is appointed unto man to die. That's something that, even though we're prepared for death and we're prepared to live eternally with our Heavenly Father, it still leaves a great void in our life when we lose people. And I know Brother Jim and Sister Karen have lost a really good friend today. Brother Jack Cash went home to be with the Lord. Also, Yvonne Butler passed away. And a good friend of ours, Keith and Penny and myself, J.D. McDowell, three deaths. And you read those things and right before you come to church. But you know one thing? If they're ready to meet the Lord, they're in a better place. They're not sorrowful. And there's no tears there. The tears are from us. Oh, life has been so good, I can't complain. When I'm down, God gives me strength to rise again. Oh, but I'm weary from the struggle of of it all. So I listen, how I listen for his call. Heaven sounding sweeter all the time. Seems like lately it's always on my mind. Someday I'll leave this world behind. Heaven is sounding sweeter all the time. I know it's hard. But we have the blessed hope that Jesus gave. God's gonna wipe every tear from our eyes. When we meet in that land beyond the sky, sing it with me, church. Oh, heaven is sounding sweeter all the time. Seems like lately it's always on my mind. Someday I'll leave this world behind. Song that I hear about heaven, every verse that I read about heaven, every testimony I hear about heaven makes me long to go to that glorious place. Amen.
Amen.
What a wonderful God that we serve, who has in fact given us the hope of glory. It's been quite a wonderful and eventful day. Can you say amen?
Amen.
The power of God was so real in the house of God this morning. It was just powerful. Seemingly as the priests, the trumpeters, and the singers all got ready to enter into the sanctuary, there was a thick cloud that filled the house where they were. Insomuch that the priests could not even stand to minister. The power of God just took over this morning. I've often said the God can do more in 1 second than man can do in a lifetime. People were delivered this morning. Amen. People were healed this morning. Amen. People received victory this morning. I just want to tell you that same God of this morning is the same God that's here tonight. Amen. Can you say praise the Lord? I did do something unusual, very unusual for me when this morning I spoke and I asked you if you had someone, a relative, a loved one that has not made that commitment to Jesus Christ, please urge them to be in this service tonight. If not, maybe through the live stream, preferably, amen, in person, because I felt such an urgency, and I have felt an urgency all week long. Wednesday night, the Lord had dealt with me upon this particular message, and we got here, and I had not been feeling real good Wednesday, but tolerable. And then I got here and I got so sick, I went straight downstairs and I told Penny, I said, I don't even think I can stand to minister tonight. So thank God for a wonderful church. They just took over and I watched it on live stream. Amen. I hope I never have to do that again unless I'm on vacation, because I wanted so much to be here and a part of this church. So this morning, as God miraculously blessed, and I believe that God was preparing us. I don't think that was by chance or coincidence this morning. I feel like somebody has been praying for a mighty move of God. I believe that somebody's been believing for a mighty move of God. And when we as a church begin to pray for a mighty move of God and have faith and expectation, how many knows that God's going to do His part? Amen. But as a pastor, as a minister, as a Bible reader, I feel such a strong urgency to bring this message tonight. And I hope somehow that it reaches someone, whether it be here or on the live stream or whatever, amen, because I believe that, as I said this morning, Satan knows what the church needs to know. Satan knows his time is short, and the church needs to understand that that time is short too, and we better be ready. Turn to your neighbor and say, we better be ready. Amen. If you have your Bibles, go with us to the book of St. John tonight in the 16th chapter. We want to read verses 29 down through verse number 33. St. John chapter number 16, verses 29 through 33. John's writings in verse 29 says, His disciples said unto him, Lo, now speakest thou plainly, and speakest no proverb. Now are we sure that thou knowest all things, and needest not that any man should ask thee. By this we believe that thou camest forth from God. Jesus answered them, Do ye now believe? Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone, and yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Can we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, we love you and we thank you, God, for your Spirit, for your anointing power. God, for the Holy Ghost outpouring this morning, God, we're so thankful. Father, we ask again that that same Spirit, God, would reach down into this sanctuary, God, and just let it come in as a thick cloud, settle over this place, God, that we might be in one mind and one accord, receptive, submissive, and obedient to your word tonight and what you would have us to hear. Father, I pray now that you would bless and anoint this vessel. God, anoint these lips of clay tonight. God, just as a vessel and an oracle, that the Holy Ghost might speak to our hearts tonight and help us, Lord, to be obedient to the move of your power and your will. And Father, we do remember those who are suffering. Many are sick, many are afflicted. But Father, we also remember many of those who are lost and undone. And Father, we pray for a great revival, a great awakening, a time, Lord, of repentance, a time of filling the altars once again, seeking to be born again through the Holy Ghost. And Father, we give you praise and honor and glory. We ask these blessings in Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. If you love the Lord, give him praise. You may be seated. Amen. Praise the Lord. Tonight I want to entitle this message, A Final Sermon. A Final Sermon. And I want to, if I can, possibly lay out a timeline on when this particular scriptures and verses were penned. Bible tells us they were written by John, the beloved, a disciple of Christ. In fact, one of the very few that was with him from the very start. And here we find it begins in chapter number 14 and goes through chapter number 16. This, in fact, is Jesus' final instructions and prayers and directions for the disciples. Bible history and the reference tells us that there were 11 disciples with Jesus here at this particular time. We all know that the 12th disciple, Judas, was not present at this time because he had, in fact, was conspiring to turn Christ over to the magistrates. So Jesus knew at the Last Supper who was going to deny him and who was going to turn him in. He knew that when he whispered to Judas and told him he needed to do what he should do. But Jesus began here in the 14th verse, and he tells the disciples, first of all, let not your heart be troubled. Now, the reason Jesus begins with that is because he is going to relate to them some very troubling things, some situations that you and I probably would not describe as pleasant. In fact, maybe a little terrible, that the things of persecutions and the scattering of the church that might or then was going to take place. But he tells them, don't worry, I'm going to leave you peace. Not peace that the world gives, but peace that I give. And he goes on to begin his sermon to them, his message. And I know that John wrote this at a time after it had taken place. But as I began to pray this week, in fact, it started last week, and as I was praying and following this timeline, in my spirit, I could almost feel the compassion and the sadness of Jesus as he was imparting these words to his closest followers. Oh, Jesus had many times prior to that had talked to them in parables, because that's what they said. He said, now you're speaking plainly to us. You have spoke to us and warned us of this time and of this hour in parables. And if you understand, the disciples were not really sure what Jesus was referring to in the parables. The tabernacle or the temple that would be destroyed and raised back up or built back up in 3 days. He was not talking about a structure of mortar and brick. He was talking about the very Son of God that would in fact be killed for the sins of the world and raised again on the third day. But it was somewhat cloudy and confusing to the disciples because they wanted to believe, but yet he wasn't really that plain with them. He kind of give them a little bit of direction as to what was taking place. Now they're remembering this. As they're gathered there, Jesus is speaking to them from his heart. In chapter 15, he goes on to describe that he is in fact the true vine. The Father is the husbandman. He is the true vine. And he tells them that without me, ye can do nothing. But understand, there's another part. With Jesus Christ, all things are possible. I want to remind us tonight that there is nothing impossible with the Lord. Nothing impossible with the Lord. You can't think of a thing today that the Lord is not able to do. We talked about it this morning. We had testimonies that the Lord had healed people of cancer. How many knows that Jesus Christ is the greatest healer of cancer that there is alive today? Amen. Jesus spoke to the lame, and the lame got up and walked. Jesus spoke to the blind, and the blinded eyes were opened. We prayed for eyes this morning. That same God, that same power is still able to heal and anoint any and every disease or affliction that the world knows today, including coronavirus. I said including, not excluding, including COVID. And they had witnessed this. They had seen this. But they still wasn't really fully persuaded that he was who he said he was. So he assured them, I am the true vine. I am the sacrificial Lamb of God. I would imagine that as Jesus began to speak these words, the disciples probably looked one to another. Maybe their hearts were saddened. Maybe it was dawning on them that the time of his departure is drawing near. There comes a time in our life, doesn't necessarily is guarded or checked by age. Sometimes it's just that mental capacity that we realize that we're not going to live here forever. We've been told that from the very beginning of our church, when we began to hear ministries and sermons preached about heaven, a glorious place prepared. But maybe sickness, maybe affliction, maybe it is we get on up in years and we suddenly begin to realize that the Bible is true, that it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this is the judgment. And in my mind, as I was reading and kind of being engulfed with the environment here of the words that John was writing, begin to think that there was some sadness maybe in the hearts and the minds of the disciples. Jesus perceived that. Many knows that you don't have to speak what's on your heart for Jesus to perceive what's on your heart. He knows everything there is to know about us. Amen. The Bible says even if he knows the number of hairs upon our head, he knows everything about us. He sees the little sparrow fall from the sky. So he's preparing them and letting them know that you can't do anything without me. And he speaks of his great love to lay down his life for his friends. What greater love? And then he prepares them for the ministry and promises the Comforter will come in his name. The ministry will go on. I said the ministry will go on. God's going to have a remnant. He's going to have a church. He's going to have somebody to stand in the gap and proclaim that Jesus is Christ. He is our Lord and Savior. And without him, you can't be saved. You must have the blood of Jesus Christ applied to your life. You can't do it by any other way. Though an angel from heaven come preaching or teaching anything other than what the apostles preached, let him be a lie. Jesus said, I will send the Comforter in my name. Now, go to this timeline. For about 3.5 years, these disciples had been constantly at the side of Jesus. They'd witnessed the miracles. They'd seen him change lives. They, in fact, was a perfect testimony of how the Lord changed their life and brought them out of the lifestyle that they were living and made them to become fishers of men, as the Bible says. Closely devoted followers of Christ. Now it's come that hour. Now it's come that time that Jesus is preparing them that he will soon be leaving them. But he's telling them that the work must go on. In chapter 16, he begins to say, I tell you these things so you won't be offended or you won't stumble. How many knows we like to be prepared for things that we're going to face? When we're prepared, we don't get so easily stumbled or fall by the wayside when we're faced with certain obstacles, if we in fact know what those obstacles are. And I believe Jesus began to let them know there's going to be some hard times. You're going to be thrown out of synagogues. You're going to be despised for my name's sake. Some of you will be persecuted. Some of you will even be killed for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I would imagine the emotions that are running through these 11 devoted disciples as they're hearing Jesus speak plainly to them. Almost like, in fact, if you'd been visiting a doctor for a number of years, and he's been treating you and telling you these things, and finally it gets to that point when he speaks very plainly to you to let you know exactly what you're facing. Jesus was preparing the disciples for what they would face. But he goes on to assure them that he will be with them in spirit. And then chapter 17, Jesus says something that is so powerful, and it rings so true. He said, the hour is come.
in that statement alone lets me know that everything that Jesus has prepared the disciples for is about to take place. He is no longer hinting to the fact that he is going away. He's telling them plainly that he is going to be gone. That his life is going to be taken. We don't realize sometimes, even though Jesus came to heal, he came to anoint, he came to change lives, we might classify those as fringe benefits. His real mission on earth was to come and bleed and die on a cross of Calvary because we as a people needed his redeeming power. We needed his precious shed blood. He did all of these other things out of his immaculate love for us and out of his great power. But the real reason, the real mission that he came to earth is now the hour is approaching. And he's preparing them. Some have alluded to the 17th chapter as Jesus' farewell prayer. Because he says these words, spake Jesus, lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son also may glorify thee, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. Some would even say that this was one of the longest prayers that Christ prayed while he was on earth. If you are followers of the Gospels of Christ, normally he didn't pray a very lengthy prayer. Some prayers was, Lord, if thou can heal me, and he said, I will. Amen. Because he had power. Glory to God. I think sometimes we forget because that he was in flesh. He was the Son of God and the power of God was with him. He was God and he was man. Amen. The man, understand, the man part had to be blood. There had to be blood atonement. God was not going to change that. From the very beginning of time, there was always a blood sacrifice that rolled back the sins until the Son of God, the sacrificial lamb came, amen, to take on the sins of the world. Somebody ought to shout, thank you, Jesus, for the price you paid for me on the cross of Calvary. Man. And he prays this lengthy and wonderful prayer as he is preparing to leave. Chapter 18. Jesus and his disciples enter the garden. A very familiar place, if you Bible readers know, place where Jesus often came to rest, sometimes with his disciples, sometimes alone, to pray, to refresh himself. But this particular trip to the garden was like no other trip. Jesus, being God and man, knew what was about to take place. I often think that if Jesus had laid everything out when he first called the disciples, how many of them actually would have followed him if he laid it all out before they saw the power, before they realized? Understand, in verse 16, they finally realized, we know that you don't speak in parables. We know this is plain that you're speaking to us. We know, in fact, you are who you say you are. Have you ever had one of those minutes, one of those moments when God just opens a door and blesses you or creates a miracle in your life, and although all your life you've been a believer and you know that Christ is real, but suddenly it just dawns on, Lord, you really are who you say you are. Have you ever had a spiritual door open? Have you ever had God heal you? Then we realize and know that he is who he says he is. Man. And then Jesus and his disciples enter the garden where he often went to pray. And then the 12th disciple came. You Bible readers know that he did not come alone. He came with the captain, the magistrates, and the Jewish officials. And they apprehended Jesus and took him away. Peter rose up. He was going to protect the Lord. Drew his sword and he cut Malchus's ear off. Jesus, knowing where he was headed, healed Malchus's ear. Even in his final hours, he had that much love and compassion to heal someone who was ready to apprehend him. The disciples, Peter followed afar off, and some of the disciples kind of split and ran, and the words were remembering that they were going to be separated and they were going to be gone abroad and all of these things, and it began to go and burn in their spirit and in their soul to realize that Jesus had just preached his final sermon. I got to tell you, I broke down and cried when I came to that realization, and I looked it up to make sure that Jesus had not preached any more sermons to his disciples after this account, right before they went into the garden. But Jesus poured his heart out that night. He prayed because he knew what was awaiting him. He knew that he would not only be apprehended, but he would be beaten and bruised, and finally nailed to an old rugged cross where he would bleed and die, which would complete his mission, almost complete his mission. Amen. So many times we put Jesus in a tomb and forget about him. No, he came out. I said he came out alive and well, and he's alive and well today. The reason I cried, the reason I wept, was not so much that these were Jesus' final days on earth, because he knew that. He came prepared to die. I hope everyone in the sound of my voice today, tonight, is prepared to die. It's going to happen. How sad it would be if we were unprepared. But as I wept in my spirit, and as I groaned in my spirit, when I read that and I realized that this was, in fact, the final message that his disciples heard from him. They loved Jesus, and Jesus loved them, and there was such a special bond between them. And I would imagine in the days after the resurrection of Jesus, they longed to touch him, longed to feel him again. Amen. But they could only do that inwardly. Thank God for the dispensation of grace. Thank God, amen, for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Thank God for the Comforter that will be with us to lead us and guide us. But the reason I groaned and wept, and I want to get very plain with us tonight and very real with us, and I don't want to scare anyone, but I want us, everyone, to be prepared to meet the Lord. Every person here under the sound of my voice, every person who is viewing or listening by live stream tonight, there will come a time, and I'm not prophesying, I'm preaching. There will come a time in our life when, in fact, we will hear our final sermon. It may not be in the near future. It may be a long way off. But it could be tomorrow. It could be before the sun rises in the morning. I began to think about the countless number of people. You know, we think sometimes that we're in the church and we're the only ones that know the Bible, read the Bible, and try to obey the Word of God. But you know what? I'm finding there's people that know the Bible just as well as we do, have sat in anointed churches, have been raised by anointed parents, to know what it is to live and have the victory, amen, of a born-again experience with the Lord. But something in their life has driven a wedge between them And it's not because God left them. It's because they left God. They strayed. But Jesus let the disciples know, you will be persecuted. You will have hard times. You will be scattered abroad. But remember these words that I speak unto you. And as we seemingly in a world full of distractions recognize and remember that somewhere along the line we have heard the message of all the preachers and all the pastors and the evangelists and the teachers and the Sunday schools and the vacation Bible schools. I would assure you, I could almost say, 99.9% somewhere in those messages, in those lessons, was somebody telling somebody that you need to be born again. You need to accept Jesus Christ into your life. Where will we be when we realize that's the last sermon that we heard? God forbid that we're driving down the highway and a person veers out of their lane and hits us head on. And in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, maybe our mind goes back to a message we heard. You must be prepared. But we haven't taken advantage of that sermon yet. Will that be the last sermon that you heard? One of these days, whether you're saved or unsaved, you'll hear your last message. You'll hear your last sermon. Will that sermon, and you, will your spirit be fed with that sermon and have give you hope to know that you've gone down to an altar, an old-fashioned altar? We call them old-fashioned altar. Why do we call them old-fashioned altar? It's not because the wood's that old. It's because salvation is that old. Amen? That old-fashioned salvation, that born-again experience with the Lord, the infilling of His Spirit, the washing away. Somebody ought to say, praise the Lord. The washing away of those sins in your life. A brand-new creature has been made. Amen? All things have passed away, and all things have become new. We will rejoice and be happy in the last message and sermon that we heard, or will our heart be pricked in that moment, in the twinkling of an eye, when we said, I wished I had gone to the altar. I wish I had paid attention to the preacher. I'm very blessed in my life. Very, very blessed. I was able to hear message after message after message after message about Jesus Christ and His love for us and how He wanted to come in and take His abode up in my life. You know, I remember there was a Holy Ghost movement in an Atlanta church when I was just a little boy. And I say little boy, I might have been maybe Trey's age, 8 or 9 years old. I don't know, might have been younger than that. It was kind of like it was this morning when it breaks out all over. Glory to God. That's when you know it's the power of God. Amen. You know what? So we just lost control of that service way, way early this morning. God just came in and took over. Somebody say, praise the Lord that He did. Amen. As we said, He can work miracles, amen, that we could never do in a lifetime. But that preacher was preaching, and he preaching like, man, if you didn't get down to the altar tonight, you got no hope. This could be your very last night on this earth. I was so scared. I mean, I was just trembling and shaking, and I was sitting on a bench behind Mom and Dad, and I got up and I got on the bench with them, and I slid over just as close to Mother as I possibly could, and that preacher kept preaching, and I looked up at Mother, and I said, Mother, have I got to go down there? Never forget a word. Son, at some point in your life, you do. You do. If I'd have went down there that night, I would have just been scared. But you know what? Those words rang true. I remember sitting in a church, my granddaddy's church, by the way, feeling the convicting power of God. hearing those words from Mother, one day you will. And I'm so glad that I came. That wasn't the last sermon that I heard. I was blessed to be able to hear many, many more messages and more sermons. But here's the reality. It could have been. And that's what I wept and I groaned and I cried, God, why does the world hear message after message after message and it doesn't register in their heart? Are we not preaching it exactly like it's supposed to be? Are we not preaching it with love? Are we not preaching it with conviction? What will it take to get people to move? I want to say before I close tonight, I do not desire that anybody leave this church tonight. If you think that there is any hindrance whatsoever in your life, you may be saved. You may be filled with the Spirit of the Lord. And thank God. By faith, we know, amen, that's what the grace of God is all about. To have faith to believe that if we close our eyes in death, that we're going to be with Him. But you'll be surprised what the adversary, Satan, can do with one little bitty uncertainty in your spiritual life. He won't let it alone. It'll begin to grow. It'll begin to, the word, masticize. And it'll begin to maybe even cause doubt in your mind or in your heart or in your spirit. If I close my eyes in death tonight, will I enter heaven? That's what I want us to know. I want us to leave this place tonight knowing that whatever happens tonight, tomorrow, next year, next decade, that we are in fact ready. We'll lay aside every weight and every sin that does so easily beset us. Whether it be aught with your brother, whether it be the ability to not put on the altar your past life, and that is a big stumbling block to a lot of people. Even though you've been born again, even though you've given your life to Christ, many of us can't forgive ourselves for the past. I'm urging you tonight to leave it at this altar. If there's anyone here tonight that doesn't know Christ, and by knowing Christ, I'm not talking about knowing about Christ. I'm talking about knowing Him intimately as your personal Savior. I don't want, at some point in your lifetime, to say that was the last sermon that I heard and I didn't do anything about it. I didn't do anything about it. I thought about all the messages that have been preached, all the messages that have been prayed over and asked God to anoint and to give us souls for the harvest. And I thought, every one of us, now whether it be by the catching away of the church, and what a glorious thing that'll be, and I believe in the rapture, or whether it be the very last breath we breathe here on this earth. There are three souls right now that are in the funeral home. And I know the lives of two of them. I know without a shadow of my doubt they were God-fearing people and born again. I hope and pray that the third one was. I haven't seen him in a long, long time. But I doubt very seriously if they thought the last message that they heard would be the final sermon. I know that this is not a shouting message. I know this morning God poured out His Spirit in a mighty way. But I think in some way He prepared us for the seriousness of this matter that we're facing tonight. I want to speak to those that are viewing tonight on live stream. And I want to give you hope. You don't have to be here at First Pentecostal Church to get born again. Aren't you thankful for that? The God I serve is an omnipotent God. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere. In fact, I know of people who got saved in my granddaddy's living room, praying on the knelt down on the couch there and prayed. I know of people getting saved in their home. Know of one person that got saved sprawled out in a bathroom because he couldn't live anymore the lifestyle that he was living, and he prayed out to God, and God saved him right there in that bathroom and filled him with the precious gift of the Holy Ghost. God is ready when you are. But I ask you tonight, and I know it's not the easiest thing to do to get up, to come down to an altar. Believe me. I put it off for years and years and years. But I finally got to the point, and Mother's words were ringing in my ear, you got to do it at some point. You got to give your life to Jesus. And it's the best decision that I ever made. But I don't want anybody that has ever heard a message from this pulpit or from any other pulpit or from an evangelist or a teacher, man, to ignore that message. Because as harsh and as hard as that message may have seemed, it was preached in love. Because my desire is for every person I've ever come in contact with to be in heaven at some point in time. It is not my will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So I ask you tonight, search your life. First thing Satan's going to tell you, well, if I go up to the altar, people are going to think that I'm backslid. We got to get past that. First of all, if that person's thinking that, they ought to be in the altar. And if that person won't come and pray for you, then maybe they are what's the problem. Maybe we need to pray one for another. If we really want everybody, 100% of the people in this house tonight, when they leave those doors, I want you to know with an absolute certainty that whether you live another day or another 50 or 60 years, that when that time comes, you're going to say goodbye to this world and you're going to be received into heaven. And you know what? Writing your name on this book, on the church roll book, ain't going to do it. You can shake my hand all day long and that won't do it. Amen. You can read the Bible from lid to lid and that alone won't do it. But you must repent, you must confess, and you must ask Jesus Christ to come into your life. I'm going to ask Sister Penny if she would come to the piano. One day, we all will hear our last message. God forbid. Hope it's not tonight. Hope it's not tonight. But if it is, are you ready? Are you ready should that hour come? Please, would you stand all over this congregation? Please bow your heads. Please pray. And this altar is a wonderful place to come and lay your burden down. Some of you elders, if you would, gather around these as they come. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Where will you be? Do it in F. Only you can answer this question. Where will you be 1,000,000 years from now? Where will you be 1,000,000 years from now? Will you be singing? Will you be happy while ages roll throughout eternity? I ask this question, where will you be? Where will you be, church? Where will you be
a million years from now, will you be happy? Will you be singing while ages roll throughout eternity? I ask this question, where will you be? As they play that very softly, if you know that your heart and your soul is right with God, but you have a lost loved one, you have a friend, you have someone in your family that you would like to be saved, would you just line up here? Just line up as a show. We want to hold them up before the Lord tonight. And I ask you on live stream, if you're listening tonight and you're not sure if you're born again, why don't you just kneel down right there in the comfort of your home and you ask Jesus Christ to come in and save you and fill you with His Spirit. Hallelujah. Thank God for these that are, these are representatives of souls right now who need the Spirit of the Lord. Can we reach our hand out toward each and every one and pray right now? Father, in the name of Jesus, God, on behalf of every person that is standing here under the sound of my voice, God, on behalf of a loved one, a husband, a wife, a child, a son or daughter, God, whoever it is, a friend, a loved one, Father, we hold them up to you. Father, we pray that you give them one more chance, one more sermon, one more opportunity to come and give their life to you. Lord, we believe it right now for revival. We believe it for the Holy Ghost anointing. In Jesus' name we pray. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Will you be happy? Will you be singing? Praise the Lord. I ask you this question. Where will you be a million years from now? Sing it with me, church. Where will you be a million years from now? Will you be happy? Will you be singing while ages roll throughout eternity? I ask this question, where will you be? Is there anyone that needs special prayer tonight? If you'd come forward. Hallelujah. I feel such an anointing of the power of God in this place. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise your name.
Thank you.
desire is that there is nothing between you and the Lord tonight. Amen. If there is, please get it straight. Get it right. Amen. Before it's eternally too late. God bless you. I love you. If you love Jesus, and if you love your brothers and sisters, give him a hand clap of praise tonight.
Praise the Lord. Praise God. As y'all are moving back, I want you just to look around for a minute. And all the people that's here tonight and all those that, and even those names and those families that have come across your mind as we prayed tonight. And I was just as we were praying with different people and seeing the different ages. Even the youngest up here seeking the Lord and wanting to pray with their moms and dads or for their brothers and sisters or for their friends in school, seeing all the mighty things that God did this morning and He's doing now in our lives this evening. There's one thing that I have to say this because it's what the Lord just laid on my heart. Is the Holy Ghost, the Comforter, that Jesus left so He could send Him to us, will walk through those doors with us. And will be within us. When you walk out here this evening as we start a new week, and those that are watching online, no matter what your situation is, if you put all your faith in the Lord and accept Him as your Lord and Savior and let Him go with you in that journey that we're in, and as we pray for others, that we are representing what God wants us to do, but most of all, there'll be other lives that He'll give us an opportunity to minister to and touch. Maybe just with a smile. It may be just with a prayer. But God is great, and I love each and every one of you, and I thank you for being an obedient church, for your prayers, for your willingness to step in and help each other, from the celebrations of a beautiful wedding yesterday all the way through the family that got to get together in church this morning to this moment here, this family here that I'm looking upon. But just keep in mind, from the littlest one up to the eldest, that we'll just be about the Lord's business. Amen. All hearts and minds clear? Well, praise God. I just love the Lord. Love each and every one of you. As we prepare to depart, I want to give you a personal invite to be back with us Wednesday night for service. We'd love to have you. I know a lot of folks have job issues and all that, but come as you are. Just come into the house of the Lord. If you're running and get here in time, we'd just love to have you. Let's be in much prayer for those that are shut in, those that aren't able to be with us. Those of you watching online, haven't said it this evening. I try to say it every service, but if you have a prayer request or need, please put it in the comments section, and we also have a brother, his family that's donated Bibles. And if there's anyone watching online that doesn't have a Bible, let us know. We'll send that Bible to you. And we just love each and every one of you. With this prayer, we're going to be dismissed. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, we just love you. Lord, we praise your holy name. Dear Lord, we thank you. Dear Lord, for your word. Dear Lord, for your spirit. Dear Lord, for sending the word to us. Dear Lord, as we prepare to depart from this service, Lord, we know that we're not leaving without you. And, the Lord, if there's anyone in the sound of our voice or this message tonight that hasn't turned their life over to you, I pray for them now. Lord, I pray for their soul. I pray for their life. The Lord, those in our families that we stood up here for tonight, Lord, for those that we're just praying for you to touch and give us the words. But, the Lord, most of all, that we'd release them to you. And, the Lord, we give you all the honor and glory. Lord, we ask you to keep us safe. Bring us back at our appointed time. And, Lord, again, we just give you all the honor and glory in the most precious name above, in the name of Jesus Christ. And we all say, amen, amen. Have a wonderful evening. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God.